I am the best wrestler in the world. I've been the best ever since day one when I walked into this company, and I've been vilified and hated since that day because Paul Heyman saw something in me that nobody else wanted to admit. I've grabbed so many of Vincent K. McMahon's imaginary brass rings that it's finally dawned on me that they're just that. They're completely imaginary. The only thing that's real is me, and the fact that day in and day out, for almost 6 years, I have proved to everybody in the world that I am the best on this microphone, in that ring, even in commentary. Nobody can touch me.
It is I, C.M. Jew, the most glorious Jew that ever lived, and you can't teach that, here with a brand new episode of C.M. Jew's Wrestling Reviews. This is episode 76, and on today's episode, we get hardcore, as we review Hardcore Heaven 1999. That and more on this episode of CM Jew's Wrestling Reviews. And I am recording this in the afternoon of Sunday, May 21st. Which means that last night was NXT TakeOver Chicago. And tonight is Backlash. Now, instead of forcing a TakeOver review combining it with my Hardcore Heaven 1999 review, that's gonna come next week, and I will have a new episode coming out a week from now. I'm done with school, by the way. Some of that good, some of that better. Little clash. No, not good, but that just means I have to go back and take it again. Like most things in life, I can't make everything easy. But the point being is that, you know, I'm not going to push two reviews together and do an hour-long review. I just want to review Hardcore Heaven 1999 because, damn, does this show deserve all my focus. But I did watch NXT TakeOver. I want to let you know that. Yes, it was fucking amazing. And, yeah. And I also want to review it alongside Backlash, so I will be talking about that next week, and we'll have a new episode. I hope to have more stuff out during the summer, because, as I've chronicled, it's been hard to get back into the flow of things. I wanted to take a break, I was burned out, and then, like, do I really want to do this? The fact of the matter is, I do want to do this, and I've sort of discovered that there's a hole in my heart if I'm not podcasting. I love this. And I kind of need to stop worrying about a lot of things, like getting people on. I think I worry too much about bringing people on. Don't get me wrong, I love when I do bring people on. I mean, Gerard and Corey were absolutely amazing for the WrestleMania review. But at the same time, I'm like so focused on, like, I gotta bring these people on. I gotta have more confidence in myself and being able to bring people. So I think I'm gonna sort of put a moratorium on bringing people in and kind of just focus on myself and, bring people in when I can. So that being said, this is all going to be about Hardcore Heaven 1999. Nothing else. I know there's a lot of news. There's a lot of stuff coming up that I could talk about. I'm going to sit down and focus and like write down all the news that's happened over the past month that I want to talk about. And I'm going to talk about that next week. The one piece of news, though, I do want to bring up is I have New Japan World. So I am watching the Best of the Super Juniors 24. And I have actually been going back and watching, or at least seeing how far back it goes. I actually did this the other night. And the very first thing that they have is a tag match featuring Luthez and Karl Gotch versus, I'm blanking on one other, but it's Antonio Inoki, and I can't remember the name of his partner. But it's like an hour-long match, apparently. So, you know, something I will be doing in the future is I may be doing these episodes, which are a collection of matches, because I definitely want to go, you know, be able to have a chance to go back and watch 1970s wrestling. To my point is something I do want to start maybe bringing up with CMG, something to where like I may watch a series of individual matches that I find interesting from different promotions, from New Japan. You know, if you go to the network and you go to the vault, you can see stuff from the 70s from AW. I think AWA? I don't know. I can't remember if they have AWA. I believe they do. I just can't remember off the top of my head. But they also have, like, Mid-South and Texas Wrestling and, you know, think of it as an old school night to where I'm, like, picking a series or matches or a TV episode and that may be well-known and talking about it. So that's something I'm looking on down the line, but definitely also bringing in some New Japan reviews into it. You know, in August, you know, I'm probably going to be going back and looking at a G1 Climax. You know, and ultimately that's sort of the thing that I kind of, now that I have New Japan World, I wish they would have done better. I mean, I guess it's how they have their delivery service and what they did record. But at the same time, you know, I would like to see full pay-per-views or full things. But I think New Japan has only been doing that for about 10, 15 years. So it's going to be very interesting. I don't have it all fleshed out about how I'm going to bring New Japan Pro Wrestling completely as far as some of the older stuff, like from the 90s and stuff in. But I am, you know, and some of that stuff, that's stuff where New Japan was working with WCW. In fact, I know one old thing is, I believe it's Super Juniors 1993. I was looking at, that's the one that features Pegasus Kid, Black Tiger, a.k.a. Eddie Guerrero, Hayabusa, Super Valdan, Jushin Thunder Liger, Tiger Mask. I'm trying to think of everybody that's in there, if I'm missing, but El Samurai. Just some of the best Super Juniors ever. So yeah, that's definitely going to be something that we will be reviewing at a later date. So I have New Japan World. I'm going to be integrating as far as the review structure of stuff I review. But with that being said, we have stuff to review tonight, and that is ECW Hardcore Heaven 1999. You know, it's always great to go back to ECW, you know, when I can't decide what to review, I like, let's go to ECW, and it fills my heart with glee. Of course, a lot of that also had to do with the recently release of the top 50 extreme moments of ECW, which, if you've listened to some of my past experience guest spots on the WrestleCast, you know my favorite moment is listed as number 25, the Night Kimono Wanalea danced on top of the ECW arena, which apparently happened actually at a Hardcore Heaven event, though it was released on the Extreme Warfare 2 DVD, apparently. Now, I find it interesting that they have the matches from Hardcore Heaven on ECW TV, but they don't have the Hardcore Heaven event. And I say that because I know the WWE Network has Hardcore Heaven 1995. They have 97, 99, and 2000. They do not have 1996. Which, you know, features some good, you know, Shane Douglas versus Mikey Whipwreck. It's the Full-Blooded Italians versus the Dudley Brothers. It's Taz versus Paul Verlaine, which is a shoot fight rules match, a sort of martial arts match. You had Raven versus Terry Gordy, Eliminators versus the Gangsters. Eliminators versus the Bruiser Brothers. Axel Orton, Hack Myers versus the Samoan Gangster Party. Chris Jericho versus Pitbull number 2. Tommy Dreamer versus Brian Lee. And Sabu versus Rob Van Dam. Yeah, I guess what I'm saying is, WWE Network, I would really love for Hardcore Heaven with the striptease to be on the network. I mean, since you're going to acknowledge it anyways, and, you know, you have ECW listed as TVNA, you know, and, you know, parents do have parental controls, there should be no problem putting it on the network. I'm just saying. But that's not what we're covering tonight. We are covering Hardcore Heaven 1999, so let's get to it. Let's give you the rundown. Hardcore Heaven 1999, presented by ECW, took place on May 16th, 1999, to an attendance of 28,000 at the Mid-Hudson Civic Center in, and I'm probably going to screw this name up, Pulaski, New York. Your commentators for the event were Joey Styles and Cyrus the Virus, though, I'll get to it in a second. Probably have a hard time figuring it out with the audio issues, but we'll get to that in a second. Because it is time for us to go extreme, as this is ECW Hardcore Heaven 1999. With this entire pay-per-view is I want to talk about the audio. Because it's probably the single thing that holds this pay-per-view down. And that is that you can barely hear Joey Styles in this entire pay-per-view. Now, they also have Cyrus the Virus, who we all know is Don Callis, there. But he's there early on. Then he gets involved in the Lance Storm-Tommy Dreamer match and is gone for the rest of the show. which is at least the last hour. This is a 2.5 hour show. He's there for like the first hour and then gone. So, but you know what hurts it is, you know, they have the audio of the arena turned all the way up, and they have, and I don't know if they have their audio turned all the way up. Maybe it's just the crowd was so loud that it overcame Joey Styles commentating. But yeah, you could barely hear Joey Styles during this entire pay-per-view. And again, like I said, I don't know whether they had him turned all the way up, but it seems like they had the audio from the arena and all the sound and cheers and all that turned all the way up. And that crowd was loud, like literally chanting over all of Joey Styles' commentating. It was very, very hard to hear him through the entire night. And, you know, and I say that because Joey Styles, I think a lot of us really love Joey Styles' announcing style. Whether he gets everything right or not, you know, I really do enjoy him in the way that he calls matches. And so, to miss that, you know, particularly like the Rob Van Dam, Jerry Lynn, the way he's able to, you know, his energy really matches sort of that quickening movement that they had in the match, which we'll talk about. So, yeah, that was sorely missed throughout the entire pay-per-view, and it is one of sort of the, I don't want to say hated things, but one of the bad things of the pay-per-view. But there are a lot of good things about this pay-per-view. So our very first match, which took place at a time of 1 minute and 10 seconds, Chris Candido with Tammy Lynch Stitch came out along with the Dudley Boys as basically his protection. They all did a promo, and out came Taz, as Chris Candido faced Taz for the ECW Heavyweight Championship, and Taz choked him out, like I said, in 1 minute and 10 seconds. Got rid of the Dudleys, then got rid of Chris Candido. Now, I've actually not done research yet. I want to say maybe I think Candido was leaving at this time. I can't remember if he was doing go to WCW or not. I'm sure people can correct me. I'm looking at you, Dark Mortimer, since you always have all the info, and I thank you for it. So I'll have to look that up, and I'll try to bring you guys the answer next week. Because this was also the time where, you know, it was scheduled for Just Incredible to face Shane Douglas, but Shane and ECW, I think, split ways, and it was when Shane was going to WCW. This was also during the time that Sandman was gone from ECW and was with WCW, I believe. I could be wrong about that. I know at some point, I can't remember if it was in 1999 or if it was in 2000, Sandman was with WCW. Anyways, so this is really to set up the main event match tonight, which would be Bubba Ray Dudley versus Taz in a Falls Count Anywhere match for the ECW Heavyweight Championship. They did this, you know, Candido faces Taz. Taz, like, gets rid of the Dudleys, whoops Candido's ass, chokes him out in 1 minute and 10 seconds. Then the Dudley boys attack and give him a 3D. He's helped to the back, and that then rolls right into a tag match as they continue a promo. Out comes Spike Dudley, out comes Paul Mahoney, who takes him on. Then Spike Dudley comes out, and it becomes a tag team match for the ECW World Tag Team Championship. This is something that, again, if you watch some of the, not promos, but some of the documentaries and some of the sort of ECW specials, In particular, ECW Unleashed, Joey Styles talks about how, you know, Paul Heyman would do this where he would have a match roll into another match, roll into another match, and it all make it all feel organic so that, like, you know, you can never catch your breath. And, like, there was sort of, like, this energy within the event. And this is a great example of this. You have Candido, who hires the Elites to protect him. They don't. Taz gets to him, chokes him out, wins the match. The Dudleys take him out. And then the Dudleys have... that flows right into Balls Mahoney coming out to get at the Dudleys. And Spike Dudley joining him eventually. And them having a tag team match. And again, we're going to talk about this tag team match in just a moment. And then, of course, it leads to vignettes, which we'll talk about. Of the Dudleys taking out people. Taz saying he wants them. Which leads directly into the main event. So, where to start with all of this? Because there's so much, and it goes throughout the entire show. And I don't want to end on talking about Sid Vicious and Just Incredible. So, I think we're going to get to the vignettes and the world, Bubba Ray Dudley versus Taz at the end. But just to let you guys know, all of this stuff flows into each other. So, the next match was the Dudley Boys, as I said, versus Balls Mahoney and Spike Dudley for the ECW World Tag Team Championships. It went 7 minutes, 48 seconds. This is one of those classic sort of barn burner, you know, Dudley Boys versus Balls and Spike match. If you've seen one, you've seen them all. But they're just so much fun to watch. There's so much energy. Spike, I think, is very underrated for what he brought to ECW. Balls is just a beast, blowing. Joe Gertner gets to the ring, I think hits Balls in the back with a chair, and he just has this little attention. I did something, I'm a stunt muffin. And he gets knocked in the corner, and then Balls Mahoney blows fire in his face. Which I think directly leads to, because if I remember right, in 1999, Heatwave 1999, did Joe Gertner not have a mask on? I'm trying to remember. I believe Heatwave happened in July that year. Yeah, in fact, it did. I can look it up right now. Heatwave happened in, as I stall for time, because live podcasting is awesome. July 18th, 1989. So, yeah, there. If you remember him having a mask during that, that's why. Because of Balls Mahoney blowing fire in his face. So that was a sort of hardcore moment right there. And like I said, it's a barber murder's table. I want to say they had a flaming table. I do believe so. So I think somebody went through a flaming table and then somebody got 3D'd and the Dudley Boys retained. I can't remember off the top of my head for some reason. But then we have our next match, and you know, so you had this opening, and the opening here, the sort of first like half hour of the show, really crazy and was setting up for stuff that would happen at the end of the night. Then you had this series of matches that were absolutely amazing, that were just really good wrestling. And I'll say that even about sort of the hardcore match, which is in this list of these next four matches. So first we have Super Crazy versus Taka Michinoku. Because Taka is coming, motherfuckers. Oh, Taka. If you've not seen the Best of Super Juniors, that opening match between him and Jushin Thunder Liger, damn. Give it up for the old guys. Assuming they can still do it. Just don't mention that. But this went 8 minutes, 28 seconds, and damn, this was a really good match between the two. Super Crazy. Just so athletic in this match. And again, you know, it's just simple, like, these are two wrestlers. They want to be better than each other. Taka has a sort of great sort of cockiness about him. Again, this is, I think, well, they were definitely playing him as, you know, being part of the WWE still. And, you know, I think he was under contract with WWE. Someone will have to quote me on that, because, again, Wikipedia doesn't tell me these things. Yeah, so definitely they were playing that he was, because he was definitely with the WWE, I believe, during this time. In fact, I knew it because, again, I remember watching him with WWE in 1997. So, yeah, probably on a loan or something like that. So he played this sort of kind of like, yeah, I'm from the big company thing. And him and Super Crazy just had an amazing match. Really smooth, flowed really, really well. Not really any major missteps or botches in the match. One thing I really loved is that they really sold in the match the story, you know, Taka injures his leg. And they really play that throughout the match. They play it as like him not being able to hook pins all the way through or completely hit the motion nuke driver. Because he does hit it, but Super Crazy kicks out. And that's what sort of leads to, I think he goes to pick up another motion nuke driver, some type of maneuver. Lee gives out. Super Crazy slips out the back and hits this devastating, just quick sit-out powerbomb for the win. And it's a really, really good match. Just 8.5 minutes of just great wrestling. Like, when we talk about ECW being underrated for its wrestling, it's matches like this. So an absolutely outstanding match. And then you follow that up with another outstanding match is Yoshihiro Tajiri faces Little Guido with Big Sal E. Graziano in a match that went 11 minutes and 6 seconds. And damn, this is a good match. I mean, Little Guido and Tajiri always had great matches. But again, telling a great story. You had Little Guido, the great wrestler, great sort of shoot wrestler, looking for his opening, but at the same time, intelligent, trying to find a way to get through Tajiri's strikes because they presented Tajiri at this as this absolutely dangerous individual that could just like take people's heads off, and he could take people's heads off, and just that whole story played throughout the entire match, and so just great sort of chain wrestling and striking, really combining the sort of, again that sort of more technical wrestling with sort of the strong style that the Japanese employed, and it's really shown in this match. Just absolutely outstanding. You know, you see the tarantula here, see absolute stiff kicks that you feel in your heart. And then, of course, the sudden end with the brain buster, which, again, you know, we think of Tajiri as ending his matches with that kick to the head, but, you know, to watch him end it with, you know, sort of the dragon suplex and with the brain buster really shows off that sort of Japanese strong style. And this is just another outstanding match. Definitely a must-watch. Then, our next match. Now, this is sort of the one hardcore match. Now, mind you, Rob Van Dam and Jerry Lynn had tables introduced, went through tables, and, of course, a chair always gets introduced in RVD's matches, but that wasn't really presented as necessarily being hardcore, even though hardcore, or should I say, it wasn't presented as a match involving weapons, even though weapons got used. This was presented as a weapons match, that this was going to be a street fight. As you had Lance Storm with Dawn Marie, who in current storyline was dyeing her hair and trying to act like Beulah McGillicuddy, who had been taken out very recently by the Dudleys. Those damn Dudleys. Versus Tommy Dreamer, who came out with Francine. Now that Shane Douglas was no longer with the company, you know, Francine needed somebody to go with. And she was managing now Tommy Dreamer. So they sort of presented it as they don't know yet and everything, and what's the connection. Mind you, and I searched this out on YouTube, because of course I did, in a promo on ECW TV, Francine cut a promo on Dawn Marie, and yeah, go find it. Francine, for that matter, Francine, Dawn Marie, Kimono Wanalea, Beulah McGillicuddy, I really think that the women of ECW are completely underrated for their contributions as far as how incredibly sexy and beautiful they are. I think more beautiful than anything that WWE or WCW had at the time. Definitely more sexy than anything WWE or WCW had at the time. And yeah, I'm saying that including Sable. And I know she had Playboy cover and, you know, the handprints on the breast. But yeah, I would take Francine, Kimono Wadalea, Beulah McGillicuddy, and Dawn Marie anytime. Both just taking them individually over Sable and them collectively over Sable, because I'll take them all. I'm hardcore. speaking of Tommy Dreamer, this actually was a really, really good match. There's a lot of things into it, a lot of great weapon spots. The tables, the ladders around the head, and hitting the ladders with the chairs. And that's the thing. It's like they used weapons and they made it really feel like a fight, but at the same time, there were some wrestling maneuvers in there, and it was just, again, how do I put this guy away? And just a really back and forth match. And then, of course, you know, Cyrus Survivors got involved. He gets a Bronco Buster from Francine, the lucky bastard. Dawn Marie gets what's coming to her as she gets pile-drived by Tommy Dreamer for torturing him. But, of course, that also leads to, you know, Lance Storm picking up the win. With, I believe it's a diving spinning leg kick from the top rope on to a chair to his face. And, you know, it was just a really good, solid match. Really fun to watch. Lance Storm and Tommy Dreamer, just two of the best workers in the business at that time. And just put on a really, really outstanding match. Yeah, definitely go see it. And then to end this sort of series of just like great match after great match after great match, you had another classic between RVD and Jerry Lynn for the ECW World Television title. Loved so much about this match. You had that vicious elbow early on that cuts RVD. And it just felt real. It didn't feel like a blade job. Like, literally, he accidentally caught RVD, like, on the side of the eye. And, like, he's bleeding down face. And then, of course, the wicked sort of back kick where, you know, RVD, he puts his opponent, straddles them on the rope and springboards and kicks them. And the just vicious and death-defying way that Jerry Lynn fell, seemingly face-first into the padding, all the way down from straddling the ropes all the way to the ground. And then how, like, just like the blood was pouring from him. So it got bloodied real quick. And then, again, it's just, oh my god, the thing that's amazing about Jerry Lynn and RVD is just how quickly they move and how they have counter after counter after counter after counter. And it's just so quickly, and it's like, Joey Styles has a hard time keeping up with the action, and it's just amazing to watch. And how they kept building and building and building to the climax. They do this to each other, you know. Jalen goes for a Hurricane Rana of RVD off the top rope to a table on the floor. RVD counters, throws him over his head to the table on the other side. And later, Jalen gets him back by when RVD is on the apron. Sunset flip powerbomb from the inside to the outside. And powerbombing RVD through a table. The Van Daminator where, you know, RVD has the chair. There's Bill Alfonso. Jalen's in the first row. He throws it to Bill Alfonso, then immediately leaps on a guard railing with great balance. Bill Alfonso throws the chair to Jerry Lynn, who you'd think would learn not to catch it at this point because you'd have to know what's coming, but does catch it, and it immediately gets a boot to his face in a Van Daminator with a RVD with that thrust kick. And it's like, God damn, that's beautiful. And just, they were back and forth and back and forth at a point where Jerry Lynn gets a chair and thrusts the chair into the gut to bend RVD over it, and just throws it in Bill Alfonso's face. It's like, well, Bill Alfonso's taken care of for the rest of the evening. Though he does get back up and interferes towards the end of the match. But, yeah, just, oh, another classic from RVD and Jerry Lynn. There is a reason that this was considered probably the best feud of 1999, at the very least. Are going into it, and it's considered one of the best feuds of ECW. I mean, when you think about the greatest feuds of ECW, I think you think of Tommy Dreamer versus Raven. I think you think Eddie Guerrero versus Dean Malenko. And I definitely think you think RVD and Jerry Lynn. Because these are just absolutely amazing matches, a quickening pace, and amazing speed and skill. And RVD sort of with a five-star frog splash kicks out. I can't remember what move he hits in between that, but then that sets him up for another five-star frog splash, which he hits and gets the deuce. Our next match really isn't a match. It's more of a challenge. Just Incredible was supposed to face, as they say, Shane Douglas, but as we made mention before, this is when Shane Douglas and ECW parted ways as he went back to WCW. And I think they also had Sid Vicious currently making appearances. So, you know, Just Incredible cuts really good promo about him basically saying how he has defeated all these people and sent them packing, and he's more guilty than OJ, and there isn't a judge or jury that could prosecute him. To which Judge Jeff Jones comes out and says, you know, I got someone who does, and out comes Sid Vicious. And basically it is Sid Vicious throwing Just Incredible around, going to try to powerbomb Just Incredible. Jason gets involved. He powerbombs him. Lance Storm gets involved. He powerbombs him. Goes for it again. Just Incredible throws powder in his face. Lance Storm and Just Incredible try to beat him up. They're disqualified, and Sid Vicious wins. They sit him on a table when out comes Sabu, who just starts whooping everybody's. Now, the storyline is that the New York State Athletic Commission would not sanction Sabu, so because he's been banned or whatever. I can't remember what the official is. But yeah, comes out, sets Just Incredible on the table with Sid Vicious. Goes for that triple jump, springboard, splat, Arabian press, leg drop. Lance Storm pulls Just Incredible out of the way. He only goes to Sid. Security comes out. He starts beating up security. One security lands on a table that's set up between the apron and the guardrail, that classic spot. Again, triple jump, Arabian press by Sabu through the security guard. Yeah, just madness. And it ends with Sid Vicious getting mad that he gotten taken advantage of and takes it out on Judge Jeff Jones by powerbombing him twice and then salutes the fans. Yeah. I really, really enjoyed it. It was an intermission spot because you had the main event coming up and it was just absolute madness. In the way everything went. You know, so you had this sort of fun, like, a lot of cool things happening to keep, because you just had this amazing, basically, half-hour-long match, because RVD and Jerry Lynn went 26 minutes, 57 seconds. By the way, Lance Storm and Tommy Dreamer went 13 minutes and 40 seconds. And this is a very interesting thing, is like, the matches all the way up to RVD, each one was longer than the last. And they sort of built and built. And that's what this pay-per-view really did, was built and built. And it builds to the main event, which again is Bubba Ray Dudley with Siding Guy Dudley versus Taz in a Falls Count Anywhere match for the ECW title. Now, again, as I said, you had that tag match, and then afterwards, you know, Jerry Gutner had fire blown in his face. The Dudleys drag him to the back. He somehow gives them this piece of paper. The Dudleys apparently will refuse to let Gertner go to the hospital. Why, I don't know. But basically, Joe Gertner has given them envelopes of money to take hits out on people. This includes Jack Victory. And a lot of these are very, very funny segments. It's like, I'm trying to remember who. I know one is Jack Victory. I can't remember who the other is, but it's like, Abe's like, wait a minute, why does he want to hurt him? I like him. I can't do it. Like, wait a minute, how much money is he giving us? It's $5,000. I didn't like him anyways. And then they proceed to beat him up. They get Jack Victory as he's coming out of the bathroom, and they're doing all that, and they're beating up people like, we're the Dudleys, and we can do whatever we can. Then it cuts to Taz saying, you know what? I'm not dead yet. And I'm not waiting till next week. I'm not waiting till a month from now. I'm taking care of this ish tonight. Dudleys, I want you in the ring. Because I'm going to make you tap out. Beat me if you can. Survive if I let you. Oh, I love that line. And, yeah. Now, right before that, it leads to them finding Chris Jetty, which is played here as Taz's cousin. And they beat the shit out of him. But along the lines, Devon, or at least storyline purposes, Devon breaks his hand, punching him in the face. So that leads to only Bubba coming out, and it's Bubba versus Taz for the title. And this was, you know, a really... You know, when you compare it to the rest of the wrestling matches, like, it's not a wrestling classic like those could and are, but at the same time, it was a good ECW sort of main event. Like, it had weapons, it had everything. You had Taz just straight beating up Bubba Ray, Bubba Ray straight up beating Taz, them going into the crowd, going all the way into the concession stands and coming back into the ring. Tables getting set up. There's a point to where they're just beating on each other. The referee tries to get it away. They both grab the referee and throw him into a table. Devon gets involved. They hit him with the sort of that reverse 3D neck drop. When you backdrop, neck drop combo. But the ending comes beautifully where they're setting, you know, Taz is all bloodied up. They're setting up Taz for the 3D. Devon goes to lift him, Taz counters it into a tornado DDT. He then captures Bubba, because he's now goddamn pissed, into an exploder Tazplex through a table, which sets up the Taz mission, and Bubba taps quickly, because he knew he was caught, as like, yeah, get... And also what leads to it, though, is again, everything that had been happening through the night, you had Bubba constantly talking, constantly running his mouth. And by the end of the night, you wanted to see Bubba get his comeuppance. And when Taz slides on the Taz mission and makes him tap, you know, it's that comeuppance. It's great heel work by Bubba Ray and the Dudleys throughout the night. Great work by Taz as that just no-nonsense, I'm gonna kill you type of champion that everybody loved Taz for being. And it's just the anticipus of what ECW was at the time. And it's just how everything flowed into everything else. Every match flowed into every match. Yeah, you had this hardcore stuff throughout the night being introduced. But at the end of the day, you know, those four matches in the middle, from Super Crazy to Takemichi Noku, to Yoshihiro Tajiri, to Little Guido, to Lance Storm versus Tommy Dreamer, to RVD versus Jerry Lynn, all those were absolutely amazing. And then bookend by this storyline that happened through the night. It started with Candido versus Taz, and ended with Bubba Ray versus Taz. So yeah, I really, really enjoyed this entire pay-per-view. Top three moments. One, Francine's Bronco Buster. Because I never thought I'd ever wish to be Cyrus the Virus. But in that one moment, I wish I was Cyrus the Virus. I'm just saying. And don't tell me that none of y'all are thinking that either. Because I guarantee you, every guy was thinking the same thing as me. Love that. Just because of how cheesy it is, I love Balls Mahoney blowing a fire in Joe Gertner's face. Because that whole setup just made me laugh. Favorite moment, you could pick any from the RVD match, but definitely, as I said, that spot to where Jerry Lynn's in the crowd, RVD has a chair, he throws it to Bill Alfonso, Bill Alfonso throws it to Jerry Lynn, who catches it. At the same time, RVD springboard off the metal railing to do a thrust kick, Van Damminator. Just a beautiful spot. And as far as my top three matches, number three, Super Crazy versus Takemichi Noku. Really, really good. Number three is Yoshihiro Tajiri versus Little Guido, because it was fun. One thing I did not mention, because again, I was so focused on just the greatness that was introduced there, but they were a little bit more botchy than the other matches. So that's number three, Super Crazy versus Takemichi Noku, because it's a great storytelling with that leg. Number two, but number one, RVD versus Jerry Lynn, in another absolute classic. Those are my top three favorite matches, but I can't sit here and tell you that there's a bad match on this card. You know, you sort of had two groups of matches here. As I said, you had the Taz, Dudleys, and Candido stuff. That all rolled into one. You know, they started the show with those first two matches, with the championship match and the tag championship match, and that, with vignettes throughout the night, led into the what would be the main event. And so they bookend the show. And then in between, you had all this wonderful wrestling matches that I think ECW does not get enough credit for. And then you had this really wonderful sort of fun intermission sort of on-the-fly match that is, again, so ECW, with Sid Vicious and Just Incredible that got people and kept people excited for the main event. This was a really, really good card. And it's like, you have to struggle to find things wrong with it. I mean, wrestling-wise, yeah, there actually were quite a lot of botches and sort of misspots. And, you know, in RVD and Jerry Lynn and Yoshihiro Tajiri and Little Guido and some, like, slip-ups and everything with the ring. But, again, that's nitpicking. Because, you know, it's still beautiful. And mind you, like, when Jerry Lynn fucked up really bad on a messed up sort of suplex off the top rope shot and fell, you know, again, you know, there's nothing I can say that's as bad as the crowd getting on him and saying, "You effed up. You effed up." Yeah, by the way, I know I'm saying "you effed up" when I've dropped a couple F-bombs this episode. I wish it had been right place and I didn't catch myself in time. But, really, the only bad thing, the only thing that really brings this pay-per-view down is the fact, is the audio issue. And the fact that, you know, you can't hear Joey Styles play-by-play sometimes. And it's... Joey Styles just makes that so much better because he's so great at calling action. And that's the only thing that sort of brings this down. So, you know, I give ECW Hardcore Heaven 1999 a 4.5 out of 5. Absolutely outstanding pay-per-view. A must-watch. Go watch it. Like I said, just try not to be disappointed, but you can't hear or Joey Styles' voice as much as you probably want to. But outstanding card, especially those four matches in the middle, all are absolutely outstanding. Wonderful wrestling. Like I said, 4.5 out of 5 from me. And that is it for this episode of CMJU's Wrestling Reviews. As I made mentioned, next week I'll be doing full coverage on NXT TakeOver Chicago and NXT TakeOver. Oh, not NXT. And let's start this over because live podcasting is awesome. I will have coverage of NXT TakeOver Chicago and WWE Backlash, which is happening tonight as of this recording. Because I don't know if I'm going to get this recording out tonight or tomorrow. And, yeah, I will have that. I will have full coverage of some stories and stuff I want to talk about. So, big episode coming up, hopefully next weekend, when we have some time to talk about stuff. As we get preparation for a really, really packed summer. Yeah. All that and more in the next episode of CMJU's Wrestling Review. So until next time, I want you to remember one goddamn thing about me. CMJU. I'm the most glorious Jew that ever lived. And you can't teach that. Why? Because I'm CMJU. Recognize.
You're all that I have and you're all that I need. Each and every day I pray to get to know you. Please wanna be close to you. Yes, I'm so hungry. You're like water for my soul when it gets thirsty. Without you, there's no me or the air that I breathe. Sometimes the world is dark and I just can't see. With these demons around all around, bring me down to negative vibes. But I believe, yes, I believe. I said I believe. I stand among two feet, one be brought down on one knee. I fight with all of my might to get these demons to flee. Hashem's rays, fire blaze, burn bright in. I believe Hashem's rays, fire blaze, burn bright in. I believe out of darkness comes light, twilight and to the heights. Crown lights burning up out of to the twilight. So thank you to my God, now I finally got it right. And I fight with all of my heart and all of my soul and all of my mind. I give myself to you from the essence of my being and I sing to my God. Songs of love and healing, I want Mashiach now. Time it starts a feeling. What's this feeling? My love will be hole in a ceiling. I give myself to you from the essence of my being and I sing to my God. Songs of love and healing, I want Mashiach now. Stripping away the layers and reveal your soul. You gotta give yourself up and then you become whole. You're a slave to yourself and them don't even know. Them wanna live that fast life, but you're dreaming.